So I would like to present to you a plan that it's not perfect whatsoever. And it's based really on the Rambam. The Rambam, Maimonides, said in the Laws of Tshuva, he says that the process of Tshuva should lead you to a stage that einenu oto ha'ish. You are not the same person anymore. Now, the simple understanding of that Rambam is that after the process of Tshuva, you are not the same person anymore, which makes a lot of sense. You went through a change, so you are not the same person. I would like to suggest that perhaps the end result of the process and the beginning of that process is the same. You need to be not the same person when you start your Teshuva. Which means what? We all know that if you want to really change, one of the most motivating speeches that coaches or whatever they give is what? We are not the same team like we were in the first half or first quarter. We are different, but we are not. We are the same players. But the idea is what? Is that you need to start the game fresh, new, like you are a new player, and it's what? It's a new game. Now, why would they believe the coach doing that? Because they want to win. Thank you. If you don't want to win, I think we are just wasting our time now. I'll be very honest. If you don't believe that you can win, you will not go on the court. You will not go back to the game. The idea is, and this is related a little bit to the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, I think in Chelek Gimel, the Rambam says something, it's fascinating. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, not in the Laws of Teshuvah, in the Guide of the Perplexed, he said that really, if you don't believe that Teshuvah exists, you will never think that you have hope for change, and you will be rooted in evilness. Think about it. If we as a society, live religion, if we as a society will not think that we can fix our ways, what would you do? You will continue on with your bad path. So the idea is that if we really want to investigate ourselves, is only if you want to be better and you want to win the next time. What do they do? I will take again an example from sports. What do they do when they lose or when they win after the game? They watch the game again and again and again, and they are being investigated by themselves. The coach asks them, what did you do wrong here? What could you do better here? And that's what they do in order to become better players. That's what we need to do. We need to do the same thing. We need to take our lives. Let's start with one thing, not life. One thing that we did that we know we didn't do it right. And take it in front of our eyes and ask ourselves, okay, what did we do wrong? What could we do better? And what do we do in order to avoid doing the same thing next time? Good comment. I will say two things. A, I think you are right. You can imagine things that you did and you didn't, or you want to remember whatever way you want to remember. I agree with you. But even when I see something, you can have a person on tape stealing something and he will tell you what? No, I didn't. Meaning a lot of it, even if it's recorded or videoed, people can still give their own interpretation. That's where honesty and sincerity comes to play. And that goes back, if you want to win. If you want to win and you know that you can win, you will be honest. But if you are not sure, you will have doubts, you will start playing with the system. So for sure, you need to write it down. But what happens if I didn't write it down? Or even in the process of writing down, how many of you did Shomrei Mishkal? Weight Watchers. Anyone here? No. No one needed. Weight Watchers. Okay, Weight Watchers, I think in part of their system is that you need to write down what you ate. How many people cheat on it? Their own thing, their own list for their own benefit. They ate, a chocolate cake, but they didn't really eat it. Why? Because they didn't finish it. So it means they chew it and they spit it out, right? Or they didn't chew it, they swallowed it, okay? So that doesn't mean that they ate it. they will give you 10,000 interpretations of why they didn't include it. And they're honest. They are telling you, I didn't eat it. So the idea is, there is embarrassment, definitely. There is also, you don't want to admit your failures and your deficiencies. Tshuva, in a way, is one of the most purifying processes in religion. When you really, really think about it, that's why it's so hard. Because I do believe that every human being has a limit of how honest he can be with himself. Because some truth is so painful that I'm not sure you can tolerate. So I want to make, I don't want to put an ideal that no one can reach. I want to put a goal that everyone can accomplish. That's why I always suggest that, you know, take something small that you know you can win. And I'm not talking about adding another shiur. That's the easy part. I'm talking about changing a trait, changing a behavior, changing an attribute that we have. That stuff. So the idea is, according to this dirshu, to investigate. And to investigate, in order to really have a good end result from an investigation, you need to do it with the most honesty that you can have. Okay, page 2. In Tehilim, in Perek of Kufei, it says, Dirshu Hashem ve'ozo bakshu fanav tamid. Again, Dirshu, that we don't know what it is now. Hashem and his strength, and always seek his face. Says the Malbim, Dirshu Hashem ve'ozo she'ikar hu hadrisha. Lo ha-metzi'ah. The main point is seeking, not finding. Ki ein mi sheyasig atzmuto rak tzarich lidrosh ma'asa. Because no one can really fully understand God's revelation. You can only understand him by his actions. U'mitzad ze bakshu fanav tamid. And because of that, you should always try to seek his face, always. Because the main point, the tachlit, is that they will try to seek and find him. But it's infinite, because God is infinite. This Malbim, I can speak for an hour. One of the most deep understanding of tshuva, really one of the major understanding of tshuva, and I will explain. The pasuk in Tehilim said, "Dirshu Hashem ve'ozo, seek God and His strength, bakshu fanav tamid, always seek His face." But I just said, "Dirshu Hashem ve'ozo." So what is bakshu fanav tamid? It says God is infinite; we are finite, which means what? It's useless. We will never be able to fully understand him. Never. Why? Because more you understand how much you don't really understand. And that, and so more we know, less we know. So it's really, it's like chasing your tail. You will never catch it. That's with seeking God. Now let's talk about tshuva. There is a very interesting machloket in the Gemara in Yoma about the following issue. If I committed a sin, a chet, this year, a year goes by and I didn't do this chet at all, should I make a confession on that chet that I did last year but I didn't do this year? One second. You said you should because you might do it next year. I did. I did a chet this year and I already confessed about it this year. A year goes by, I didn't do this chet. Should I mention that chet again? What? Not that. I'm talking about like my own tshuva. So dispute. What's the dispute? What? Okay. So one hand, exactly. Dai, must speak. Enough. Genug. Dayenu. You didn't do it. Don't even mention it. Why do you want to mention it and bring memories? The other opinion says, no, 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 you should. And you know why? Because now you see it from a different perspective. I like that opinion. Not for halakha. The halakha can say something. I talk about the hashkafa of it. There is so much psychology in the process of tshuva. We all understand it. We don't need to be a psychiatrist or psychologist to understand. There is so much psychology because we are trying to understand human mind, brain, emotional state, everything. And basically, I can see this question goes in two different directions. On one hand, if I tell you that every year you need to mention the same chataim you did before, I can feel depressed. Because on one hand, like what, if I need to mention it all the time, A, you bring memories that maybe I shouldn't have, and B, like I thought I'm done with it, Gamano, it's behind me. The other opinion says, look, there is nothing that it's really behind you. Everything has influence on you. You know, when people say, oh, I had this thing and it's behind me, or I promise you, if you will tell me the truth, I will not hold it against you. We know that we are comprised with what we experience in the past, what we experience in the present, and how do we view ourselves in the future. There is no question about it. So to mention what I did years ago will help me to carry on my past with me in a different way. The idea is that on one hand, David HaMelech, for example, said, V'chatati negdi tamid. Meaning, I will place my sin in front of me always. So it will deter me from doing that again and always remind me that I'm not always so righteous, so I need to be careful. On the other hand, for some people, it's destructive. But some people try to ignore them and put them in a little closet and not to open the closet. This one says not only that you close them in the closet, that you cannot, you need to open that closet every year, which psychologically can damage you. Especially if there was kind of a trauma in the past that was involved with the sin that can traumatize you or re-traumatize you again. So in a way, the idea that we have these two options, I think, tells us a lot about the psychological understanding of our sages, of us. And the idea is that it's becoming pretty much subjective. In addition to it, I might look at a scene that I did 3 years ago and just realize that I influenced someone that I didn't know. For example, I decided, to do something that I thought that according to the halakha was right. And I did it. Someone saw me doing that, and I did not know he saw me, and he did it. And he continues to do it. Now, 3 years later, I realized, oops, I made a mistake. But I did it only for myself. So I don't think that I need to send an email to everyone to say to them, you know, what I did was wrong. I didn't know that Moshe saw me, and he did the same, because he thought I'm such a scholar. Now I realize that Moshe is doing that. Or Reuven, or Yitzchak, who cares? Now, when I look at that chet, I see what? The impact of that chet on others. And for 3 years, or 5 years, or a year, or 2 months, whatever it is, this Moshe, or Yitzchak, or Reuven did something wrong based on my actions. Which means what? Now I look at the chet, not only from my own personal perspective, but also from a communal perspective or someone else's perspective. Which means what? There is always reevaluation of what we did. And based on that, maybe you should confess on chataim that you didn't do this year. Yes? Exactly. This year I didn't do it. Or for the last 2 years I... So this is where you see the ratzov hashov. Because it's so hard to give one formula for everyone. Because we are so different. For some people, you know, telling them that for 2 years, I'm so proud of you that for 2 years you didn't eat that chocolate cake. Oh yeah, that's what he said. Chocolate cake, you said that word. Oh my, you know what? If I didn't do it for 2 years, I would just do it only today, right? That's for one person. The other person would say, yes, you see, for 2 years I didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it for another 118 years. It depends on the person. None of them is better than the other. It just depends on your makeup, on your internal makeup of how you react to things that you didn't do. Okay. Now, also, what the Malbim says, which is so important and so deep, is Aikaru hadrisha lo ametzia. The main point is what is the process, not the end result, which is fascinating. Tshuva, to some extent, is a no-ending process. So you, if you think about it, so why to start? Because everywhere, every place you go, if it starts from here, and there's no end, but everywhere you go from here, here, you are a better person. That's why. So if someone asks you, so why should I do teshuva? I will not say, so you and God will have coffee together, because he loves you so much. Yeah, he loves us, and you will become a better person because you will be able to prove yourself that you are able to conquer one of your attributes, one of your behavior, you are able to change, and you are now a better person. And next year, you will become even a better person. Do you want it? Do you want to become a better person? Yes. Right. With them, you just need to wait for them to initiate the process. You cannot initiate the process for them. You can go to every tshuva lecture and to listen to every tshuva YouTube, TED Talk. I don't know what else we do. If you don't have it in mind to change, nothing can help. Yes? Such an anti-teshuva statement. I don't believe that. It's not, we are who we are if we want to stay who we are.
I said, I want to change how often I listen to people with Lashon, and I'm sort of succeeding, but there are other things that you may do once accidentally, turn the light on or something like that. But that you don't say, I'm not going to do
it. I'm not talking so much about mitzvot ben adam lamakom. I'm talking more about mitzvot. It's much easier to do tshuva ben adam lamakom. God is also more forgiving. And really, there's no much embarrassment because we don't see him. We believe in him, but we don't see him. This is much more difficult. It's much easier for me to come and to say to God, you know what, today is Wednesday, today is Thursday. I didn't put on tefillin, God, sorry. Okay, tomorrow I'll put on tefillin. It's much more difficult to go to a friend and to say, I spoke Lashon around you, or I stole from you, or I deceived you, because then there is an embarrassment. So the idea is, I don't think we are who we are. We are who we would like to choose to be. And it all depends on us, and this is why it is so difficult. You know, in other religions, how do you do teshuva? It's easier. It's much easier. And I want to tell you, I'm not making jokes out of it, God forbid, bichlalo. I understand where they are coming from. They are addressing a human need. Every human being would like to be granted with forgiveness from God and from people. Every religion, every person. There are really few people who can live their lives and they don't care what people think about them. They don't care about forgiveness. Most people do. And when I tell a person it all depends on you, it's frightening. But if I tell you all depends if you believe in him, or if you just come and confess behind the booth and you don't even see me, or the priest does not really see the other guy, does not know who he is, that makes it easier. The goal is the same goal, but the results will be totally different. Because what Judaism requests from the person to do is what? is to internalize it and to sacrifice, really, to go through somewhat of a painful and somewhat even shameful and embarrassing path in order to achieve tshuva by himself. By himself. That's why it's so difficult. That's why every year we sit here and discuss it. Yeah. The Yom Kippur Slicha. You know, before Kol Nidre. Slicha, slicha, im pagati. I like that. Slicha, im pagati becha. Please forgive me if I hurt you. But the idea is that, again, I don't want to dismiss it. It's also something. But we need to try to understand that if we know about a specific chet we did, we should go and deal with it. Yes. Sure. And that's what we said before. You need to initiate it. God will help you. How God will help you? I don't know. God has his own ways. But you need to initiate. And it didn't say when exactly God is going to help you. Meaning, I don't know how far you need to be in teshuva for God to help you. Do you need to start just the first? Oh, thank you so much. Do you need to start only the first stage? Do you need to be like after 3 months, after 2 months? It's again, it's also subjective. Because some people who are weak needs more help. And some people who are stronger can go on without help at the beginning. Okay, so that's Tehillim. Now take a look at Yirmiyahu. And this is the last one. Ki ele arukah lach u'mimakotayich erpa'ech. Neum Hashem. So I'm going to what? To give you a remedy, says Hashem, to the Jewish people and to Yerushalayim. Ki nidacha karu lach. They called you nidacha, a stranger, casted away. Tzion hi, Zion, it is doresh ein la. She doesn't have a doresh. What does it mean, doresh? So says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, how do we know that we make a remembrance to the Mikdash or a memory for the Mikdash? The Amar Kra, ki ele arukah lach u'memakotai echerpa'ech neum Hashem ki nidacha karu lach tzioni doresh en la michlal deba'ay adrisha. You know, in halacha, we need to create a memory for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So how do we do that? When we build a home, we leave a place that it's unpainted. When we do a wedding, we break the glass. Okay. How do we know that? Where is the source for it? From here. Tzion hi, doresh en la. There is no one who tried to find Yerushalayim. So therefore, you need to always find it in your life. Unpainted place, breaking the glass at a wedding and things like that. It's interesting. If I take this perush and try to apply it to tshuva, you have something very interesting. Sometimes the feelings of the chote, of the sinner, is one of nidach. What is a nidach? Nun dalet chet? Pushed away. Why? Because the beginning of the tshuva, of the process of tshuva, is such that if you are really sincere with yourself, the first question you ask yourself is not only how could I do that, but how can I even imagine to come again closer to God after what I did? There is no hope for me. God probably abandoned me, that God does not want me, and there is nothing there for me. The first one that needs to remember that you are wanted by God and that you can walk this journey and come closer to God should be whom? Yourself. So you need to remember your good qualities. Now we are going to change the conversation. Sometimes we are too harsh on ourselves. I'm useless, I'm not talented, I'm not capable, I will never be able to do it. And sometimes it's a, you know, what do they call it? A self-fulfilling prophecy. And sometimes it just brings you down to be really fully depressed. Even in time, that we are really honest and sincere with ourselves, we always also and always need to remember what? Our good qualities. Because without them, we'll never be able to what? To pull ourselves up. Even on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when we say how horrible we are, what do we say? I love that song. After we say Chatanu, 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 what do we say? Ki anu amcha, v'ata Elokeinu. We are your nation, and you are our God. We are your children, and you are our Father. So we do have probably one redeeming quality. We just need to find it. Okay? And you need to know. And I'm not talking only about those little credits, about little victories. I'm talking about really good talent. Sometimes we just abuse it or use it for something bad. Or sometimes we're not even aware that we have it. But the thing is that God is the one to remind us that we are good. And you know how? By? Loves us, believe in us. And how do we know that he believes in us? In the prayers themselves. Ad yom moto achakelo im yashuv miyad akablo. I will wait for him until the day of his death. If he will return, I will accept him immediately. Which means what? Until the day we die. That we have zero control on it. Every day you still have control on the day, God is expecting you to do tshuva. And that's what we learn from here. And then, and that will complete this entire subject, in Dvarim it says, Kim el amakom asher yivchar Hashem elokechem mikol shiftechem lasum et shmo sham leshichno tidreshu uvata shama. But rather to the place that God will choose from all the other tribes to place his name there. Leshichno tidreshu. What is leshichno tidreshu? What is a shachen? Neighbor. Or shechina, divine presence. So you need to what? To seek, to request the shechina. What does that mean? So take a look at the Ramban. V'tam leshichno tidreshu. Shetelchu lo me'eretz merchakim. ותשאלו אנא נלך תשאלו ותאמרו איש אל רעהו לכו ונעלה אל הר השם אל בית אלוקי יעקב כלשון ציון ישאלו דרך הנה פניהם. So the Ramban brings two interpretations. Let's talk about the first one. He says, what does it mean לשכנו תדרשו? He says like that, when you go far away, when you will be exiled, you will ask, where is the house of God? And you will ask each other, and you will tell each other, let's go and go up the mountain of God, which is the Temple Mount, and that's what you will do. So that's the first interpretation. Now, what does that mean when it comes to tshuva? When we are in Eretz Merchakim, when we are far away from our base, I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually, what we need to do is also as people, not only as an individual, sometimes as a group, it's easier. We need to ask each other, what is the way to what? To go back and to climb back the mountain to come close to Hashem. Now, let's stop here for just a second. Sometimes, to do tshuva by yourself, it's the right thing for you. But sometimes to do tshuva as a collective, as a group, it's easier. A, everyone try to push and encourage each other. A, B, everyone brings tovanot. Everyone brings insights to the discussion. It's not that, oh, I did A, B, and C. Well, you need to do also A, B, and C and you will be okay. Because your A, B, C is not my A, B, C. But sometimes I didn't know that this A, B, C exists. So basically the drisha to request is to look around and to see in the group. Maybe there are other suggestions, maybe there are other ways to what? To come closer to Hashem. So that's one interpretation. The second interpretation, בספרי, תדרשו דרוש על פי הנביא, יכול תמתין עד שיאמר לך נביא, תלמוד לומר לשכנו תדרשו ובאת שמה, דרוש ומצא ואחר כך יאמר לך נביא, וכן אתה מוצא בדוד. This is a very interesting thing. When it comes to Yerushalayim, there is somewhat of a dual responsibilities. On one hand, we, the people, have the responsibility to find Yerushalayim and to build the Beit HaMikdash. On the other hand, we don't know exactly where is the Temple Mount until God will tell us what this is the place. So why should I put efforts if I don't know yet for sure where is the location? So maybe I should what? Wait for Hashem to tell me exactly and then I start my plans. But Hashem says, no, leshichno tidreshu uvat Hashama. You need to try to find it, do whatever you do, and then I'll come and I'll tell you if you were right or wrong. That's exactly the process of what? Of tshuva. You start with your process. Do you know where that will take you? Do you know if you are doing the right thing? So I'll tell you something. Life is filled with uncertainty. The only certain thing in life is death, and we don't want to go there. Taxes. It's also death, right? So the idea is that we start a process. We should probably start it from the beginning of the month. But let's say we are really close to Rosh Hashanah, so now we need to really litfos et atzmeinu bayadayim, to really encourage ourselves to start moving with the process. This process can take us to so many different directions. Sometimes we think, you know what, we're going to change only this one and we will see the ripple effect on so many different things. For good or for the opposite. But the idea is, according to the Ramban, is that A, we don't know when God is going to, you know, come into the picture and say, hey, here, give me a hand, I'll help you. But we need to start. So how do we start teshuva based on everything we saw? So first I brought you, I think, 7 or 8 interpretations. Choose one. Combine them, integrate them, play with them. Just take one. Okay? We all need to take one, including myself. And to start a process that we don't really know the end result. We hope that it will bring us forgiveness. But there is something more than forgiveness that we are looking for. We are looking for a change. And in order to start a change, we need to first decide that we don't want to continue the way we are. Without that, there is no beginning of process of teshuva. To the extent, by the way, the Sfat Emet says, when it comes to the redemption of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, it says, "Ve'otzeti otam mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim." What is sivlot Mitzrayim? So many of the commentators says sivlot, which means burdens. The Sfat Emet says sivlot from the word lisbol, to tolerate, which means all the time that the Jewish people tolerated the enslavement, they were not able to be redeemed. Only when a Jew stand up and say, I can't tolerate it anymore, can't stand it anymore, cannot stand the fact that I'm a slave, I cannot stand the fact that I'm a sinner, I cannot stand the fact that I have this trait or attribute or midah that I hate myself. I can't. Now I'm going to expose myself and I'm not sure I will be able even to fix it, but I am willing to try because I know I can win it. I'm not sure. I know, but I'm not sure. Then the process of teshuva begins. Without that, I don't want to tell you don't try, because it sounds like very depressing. But we need to want it. We need to want to get out of our comfort zone and from our day-to-day behavior and rituals and things that we always habit, that we always do, and to be able to go out there. By the way, in my opinion, all the Chagim of Tishrei has the same exact message. Tshuva is to throw you out there. Yom Kippur is definitely to throw you out there with a lot of uncertainty. And what do we do on Sukkot? Same thing, sit in a most temporarily hot place, not knowing exactly what will happen. then you can do teshuva. If you feel so secure, you will never move. The question? No. So, I want to wish all of you Shana Tova Metuka, a good beginning of a new process, which can take time. Not only which can take time, which will take time, I promise you. You know what? Will never come to an end. Now I'm going to depress you. But every step of the way, we will all become better people. So see you next year, Bezrat Hashem. Shana Tova.